And finally, we are back. It's the Live Podcast with myself, Bella, and of course, Victorine, my twinny. We may not look alike, but yeah, we're twins like that.
Didn't you see, guys? Didn't you see our little intro with, like, you see the dark skin lady and then the fair?
I think the next one we should be having mimosas and stuff, you know, just
we should think up with it.
Especially because she's also very bougie and she makes some of the colors.
Yes, and she loves colors. We love colors.
I love that about her. Yeah. Yes. So let's make welcome drum rolls. You wanna announce?
So you see what I'm wearing? You see? This is Sandy Owusu. Welcome to the Live Podcast.
Hi, ladies. How are you guys doing?
We're so glad to finally have you.
I know. I've been counting down the days, so I'm excited to be here with you guys today.
Thank you for being here.
She's rocking her colors.
Yes.
Tell us about the outfit.
I love colors. So anything colorful and bright and sunshiny is me. So, and I work a lot with batik because, I mean, since...
This is batik.
This is batik. Yeah. So since I started, I've been working with batik because I also wanted to promote our textiles.
Right.
And not just the regular, everyday, what's it called?
Ankara
that we wear. I wanted something that is homegrown. We make ourselves and everything. Because, you know, half of these Ankaras do not come from. Exactly.
Do you think it's actually made here?
Yeah. Well, I think GPP,
yes, 80% but, comes from
Flown in. Yeah. So that's the whole concept behind also using the batik.
Sandy is the owner and creative director of Talency, which is one of the biggest fashion houses in Ghana and in the world. And so tell us about Talency. How did you start it?
It's a long story, but...
I'll tell you a funny story. So the first time I heard her brand, I mean the previous name, I thought it was an eatery or something. Yeah. I thought she made food.
Talency, right?
No, because it was called Diva Delicious.
Before?
No.
Yeah.
So I always thought it was food.
So how long ago? When did you...
Okay, so unofficially 2008, officially 2010.
Okay.
It basically started as a means to an end, you know, because I had just gotten into uni and my dad's bank had been liquidated.
Wow.
So basically it was like, okay, how are we going to go through this? Mm-hmm. You know, times became tough and I was always passionate about
textiles
and even like making things. I was very art and crafty. So something that drew my attention was the weaving process. So
You did not study that?
I didn't study that. I was in nursing school. So I started when I was in nursing school. I started when I was in nursing school and I was very intrigued by weaving. And so I decided, okay, let me just do these bags. And then, so it started with, you know, doing it for friends and family. Everybody would be like, oh, this is nice, this and this. I was like, okay, let me actually think about making money out of this. So Diva Delicious was just something that came up.
Even the name.
I didn't even think about it. I think I just dreamt and I heard there was Diva Delicious. I was like, okay, Diva Delicious.
You know? It was a start.
So exactly. Yeah. So, but as the brand grew, my clients grew with it. And then I heard too much of the, is it an eatery? Is it a restaurant?
So I'm not the only one.
No, you're not the only one. But then before I changed the name, I rebranded during COVID. And before that, I had been thinking about what to name it, you know. And I remember everybody would be like, oh, you have to think deep. And I'm not a deep thinker. I'm one of them. I'm very free-spirited.
Yeah,
I'm not Usa, namaste. I'm not. So I was like, okay. So, but during COVID, I think we all had a minute to step back.
Yeah.
And actually reflect. So I was going through my Facebook, because when I started, Facebook was the social media then. So I was going, scrolled all the way down to 2008, and you know, just the quality and what it is now from then. And I remember the funny story is when I started with the bags, I used to have them woven in Accra. But then I researched and I was like, oh, okay, it's from Bolga, so I have to go to the source. So on the way to Bolga, we got lost in a town, and the town was called Talency. So it's a town in the northern part of Ghana.
Okay.
So we realized that we were lost, but then it was late, so we decided, okay, let's just stay overnight and then continue our journey the next day.
So you spent the night in Talency?
Yeah.
What did you see?
It was a guest house.
Oh, they had, okay.
And I remember, oh my God, I woke up in the morning. I remember I woke up in the morning and there was like a lizard, and then I was freaking out. But then, I mean, it was quite the experience. So, I mean, all those memories kept flooding back. Yeah. And then I think that I realized that for me, during COVID was my talency moment.
Yeah.
Because we were on a journey, mm-hmm. but we had to stop. Relax, refurbish, regroup, and everything, and then continue. So I guess I'm deep after all.
You said it's a funny story, but it's
actually
deep. It makes a lot of sense.
So when I woke up, I was like, oh, I got it. It's gonna be talency and everything, and fast forward.
And it's nice.
And I've been trying to upload that story. I think when I rebranded and I went through the whole we're rebranding, we're no longer deep at the truth. I tried uploading the story for so long, and it just never loaded. And I think the time kind of passed, but then every time people come to the store and they're like, we know you as Diva Delicious, so how did it change? So I think I should record it again and then put it up there, just so that people know.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah.
So what's your tagline, by the way? Do you have a tagline?
Dare to be different.
Dare to be different.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's actually between dare to be different and the woman you dare to be, but I'm not sure how to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That is,
I guess there's a little nuance.
There is.
The woman you dare to be doesn't mean you're gonna be
that woman.
Mm-hmm. That woman. Mm-hmm. But then when you are already, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you dare things.
Yeah,
it's different. That's you're already in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when I started with it was Diva Delicious. There was a quote that I saw that I loved. It said, why are you trying so hard to fit in when you are born to stand out? I think for me, my whole life, it's been about standing out or doing, you know, because I never fit the status quo. I just never did. I was always either the tallest. But now that I've grown, I realize that I'm not so tall. Because in school, I was always like the tallest.
People were telling me, yeah, I'm
compared so. To Bella.
Am I not taller than you?
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm taller than her.
Tallest or the slimmest or something. It was always something. So then I just built myself around the fact that instead of it dimming my shine, I was like, okay, I'm
it's
different.
Your way to shine.
This is just how I am. So I think that's just what
I have an idea. You're going to have to pay me for it.
Please. She has ideas.
Just because she's talking about talency and how, you know, that was her talency moment during COVID. I was just thinking the journey to becoming.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
So that comes with 10 clothes every month. Thank you very much.
I like that one as well.
Because it's all about the journey, right?
Exactly.
It's all about the journey.
It has been quite the journey. Even starting with the bags, I had a friend also who was in the advertisement agency. And so a lot of times when they did shoots or even Lydia did a movie and she needed a stylist and everything. So I was like, and this is me in uni, I needed to hustle and get some money. So I was like, okay, I can style, you know, I know style, I know fashion, this and this. So then I would a lot of times just make the outfits and then have people sew it.
Yeah.
And that's just how it started. I was like, okay, well, let me just add that to the bags so that it's like a full
look. They come to
the bags first, and then the clothes came, and then it just evolved from there. It took its own
turn. Beautiful. Look what she's wearing. Okay.
But what happened to the bags? Did you stop making
it? I did. I put it on hold for a bit, but I am going back into it.
Because woman bags are very.
Especially the kind of designs you create as well.
It will go something like this.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
Bali, Mauritius. Because listen, it's hot.
You just came back from a holiday.
See, that's the thing. When you come back from holiday,
you need a holiday
from
the holiday.
You want to go back.
Okay.
Isn't it true?
So we're going to Mauritius.
No.
With our Diva Delicious. Diva Delicious.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wonderful.
So that has been our journey the past, since 2008 to now. Yeah.
So Talency happened. So you changed the name to Talency when?
2020. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
How have people related to the brand since the.
You know what? I thought it would be so difficult because they. You know, you always hear rebranding can make or break you, you know. So I was so scared, you know, it was so scary. But then during that season, I was also moving to a new space. And I was like, okay, you know what? It's do or die, you know. And I couldn't think, I had to see the glass half full,
yeah.
You know? So even though people would say that, oh, you have to figure out how to launch it, this and this, and this is COVID, like, people were not thinking about clothes, were thinking about how they're going to survive. Yeah, so, exactly. You know, I wasn't trying to, you know,
wash it.
Yeah, so I just wanted a subtle way of doing that. So I used social media, and then I just, in a subtle manner.
Yeah.
So people would say, oh, why did you change? And then I would say the story, and I also say that, you know, I mean, Diva Delicious, it kind of wasn't, you know, so grown up, you know, because we are also growing, my clients are growing, so... So I think people received it very well. Now people are stopped. Before they will still come to the shop and say Diva Delicious, but now they stopped. Everybody's talented.
Well, it means that you know transition has been smooth.
Exactly. So it was a good. I mean, I'm so grateful to God.
But has your style changed? I know you're talking about the fact that once you wanted to rebrand, that also came with changing a lot of things. When you look at your designs from 2008, of course, there's been some growth. Yeah. But what has changed about your designs now?
Yeah. I think that because when I started, everything was very young and, you know, and I still want to keep it young and fresh.
Right.
But I also understand that my client base, my core people that I started with have grown and they've evolved. So I kind of want to balance between the two so that you're not so matured and everything because you want to appeal to everybody. So I try to keep it still fresh because like I said, I'm a free spirit. Yeah. So everything I do, let's just nip tack here, make it look here so that everybody can relate to something when we put it out. Yeah.
So who's your Talency woman?
I think, well,
What's their persona? What do they look like? You know, what's
the Talency woman, I would say, is a very independent woman who knows what she wants.
Okay.
But she's also the girl next door, you know. Right. So even though she's boss chick one day, the next day she can just lay it over and transform it. Then. So it's a woman that's very relatable, you know. Mm-hmm. But then she has her stuff together, so that's the woman that I see that come in the shop every day.
Lovely.
You know, so and I love to see that when I'm in the store and I see them come in, it inspires me,
of course.
You know, because they also pick up the clothes. Oh, do you think we could do this? And then they share their feedback. And so I think it's interesting. I've loved the journey so far.
I love it. And what would you say has been your biggest challenge?
I think this is everybody's biggest challenge in Ghana, I think. But for me, it's just the people you're working with, you know.
Mm.
There are some core people that along the line I have trained and then they're good. Mm-hmm. But, gosh.
Can we talk about those stories?
It's a struggle. I think that people want to say, people all the time want to come across like, we have a strong team and everything. And I would love to say I have a strong team. I do have a strong core team.
Right.
But that they can't do everything else.
Yes.
You want to be able to delegate other people to do other things. Then you will do it. And then, you know, the disappointments come in. And and I wanted the brand also, I wanted the backbone of the brand to be a community-based thing. So before we used to do our dyeing in-house and everything. But now I decided that, okay, we can't do it all, you know, because it's not the little brand that I was now. Now we've grown online, we've grown. Yeah. So we have to be able to respond fast and then get orders in fast. So I decided, okay, let me build a community of people. So I have people who do the dyeing, I have the people that sew, I have the people. So I just want it to be like one big family, but.
The big family. Even you see, I mean, even like as little as 3-4 people, you start seeing some cracks.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. I don't know if it's the mentality. It's just difficult.
It's because across the board, everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's everywhere.
So you have to be 10 toes down all the time. Yeah. So there was a meme I saw that if you are a business owner here, you are this, you are that. And it's very true.
It's true.
Because if I tell you, how many times, like, who I've been burned by and everything. So, I have trust issues.
Oh.
I have trust issues.
Sadia has trust issues.
But the good thing is...
For work only, you mean, or generally?
For work.
Okay. Are you sure?
She posts.
I think majority of the time is for work. Because it's just so, you just deal with it so much. Like recently, just last week, my friend had her kitchen made. And I loved it. And I said, oh, I need the guy's number. Because he did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, the way the guy has stressed me. But you know what my reply to her was? I've gotten so used to it. So, you know. You shouldn't be used to it.
That's the problem.
But even in my, like, I've gotten used to it. So it's like, you can be telling, you get them and they tell you the world, this and this. And then they come in. And I, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one who goes through it. So I actually speak to people. Because when people speak about it, they make it seem like, you know, we got, and you see that online, but
to talk about it, you know, so that you don't feel like you are bizarre, you are the only if people were talking more about it, you wouldn't feel
I mean, I spoke to a lot of my friends in Nigeria who also do fashion, and a lot of them are now producing in Turkey.
Because a lot of them with already to make it.
It's ridiculous going through. There's some that have actually shipped in. Are they from Philippines or something? Just to come
to
in.
Make the clothes.
I guess if it gives you because you
what
listen
what
no
that's how bad it is.
It's crazy to work with people. I mean, if you get a good team, you're good.
People are the hardest.
I mean, I think that in my whole team, they're some people that I can rely on to get it right. And even in that getting it right, sometimes they were, I'm like, you guys cannot be making these mistakes at this point in the game, you know. So I have to also micromanage every single thing.
I was going to ask that, how do you keep them encouraged? How do you keep them united, you know, and focus on the dream?
I think I think also my issue is maybe I'm too nice sometimes.
It is an issue. I have the same issue. I'm trying very hard to work on it.
Because I've realized that here.
You don't want to be nice?
Well, because people take advantage of it.
Yeah, they do.
So they think that you are.
They take your lead.
You know, in French, they say trop bon, trop con. Like too nice, too dumb. You know, they look at it that way. Like, she's, you know.
But I mean, for like the people that I know that. They've got it. They've got our back and everything. We've been very, we teach them, you know, so I take them through trainings. They know I have their back because I'm like, I get, when you see me in the workshop, everybody's like, hey, hey. But there are days where I have to put it down and say that. So I think your question was,
how do you keep them encouraged?
I think that I have to, I'm also building their craft. I'm not saying you're not just doing this for me. You also have to do it for yourself because you have to understand that if I'm taking you through all the trainings and everything, you also have to build your workmanship. You can only talk to them, you know, and keep motivating them and everything. But the rest is really up to them eventually.
You know, one of the things I've been going through is like grooming people, training them for so long. You put so much trust in them and then they leave you.
Exactly. Yeah. So
it's hard. I mean, we understand the growth and all of that, but it hurts.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know? No. It really, really does. I had a breakup with one of my really good friends.
It hurts, I'm telling you.
Really. People talk about breakup in relationships or maybe breakup in friendships, but they don't talk about breakup in businesses. And this is somebody that I took to every training. I did the most for because I thought that, you know, but then they come back at you. And then, you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine last week and she said the same thing. She's like, this person I took to China, I took to here, and this is what they did
and
to
then
me.
They just
and that's, you know, you have to also think about the possibility because they could.
It's a possibility,
you know, people are people and they, even family does that to you sometimes.
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't help people and trust people around you, right?
Exactly.
You should just do it. That's how you are. You know, that's what you feel. Just do it.
But how do you know you're doing too much and how do you know when to stop?
That's the challenge.
Yeah. So you never know till you're burned.
Yeah. Basically.
Basically.
That's tough.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, the industry is growing.
Yeah.
And it's doing well, and we're talking about it and everything. Mm-hmm. But the behind the scenes is just.
So how is it like in Ghana? Like, are you guys united? You know, like united for all the fashion designers.
Well, before, not so much. Now, I think that, there's still work to be done. If I compare us to Nigeria, I feel like they collaborate and they are together. I don't know the nitty-gritty because I'm not in the core of it, but then from hindsight, that's what it looks like. I don't see it so much done here, which I've had my fair personal experiences, so I just keep myself in my bubble, you know.
When you say experience, is it because maybe, you know, one person was worried about one stealing designs, or does that happen as well?
That happens a lot. But then I always say that, and I used to complain about that because it happened to me when I started with my, even with the bags, I started with the, I had a shape, and then there was somebody else came in and started doing the same shape, same everything. So I remember one time a client even called me, I bought the bag and it's just, she thought it was mine. So I was like, can I see it? And then she showed it to me. I'm like, oh, sorry, this is not mine. This is not. Yeah, but it was the same. She had, it's just that the quality and the finishing and it's everything was different. So the dye rubbed in her outfit and then some long thing. So you get that and it happens.
But
the
thing, someone who knows you, who told you about it. So imagine.
So, but the thing is with fashion is very, it's like a cycle, you know, it recycles all the time. And I always say that nobody is copying. And the people who say they are copying, sometimes, honestly, I sit on Pinterest and I go through and I see everything that everybody's
inspired.
Yeah, so I think people are inspired. I used to also say that people are copying me, this and this. But then I grew out of it. I'm like, no, people are really inspired. Now, let me tell you, some people actually will copy you detailed.
Exactly.
You know, they're not being smart about
it. Yeah, but I say that when capri pants or pencil skirts or whatever comes, everybody is doing pencil skirt, but the way this person will do it and have their touch is different from this person having their touch. When I came up with this skirt,
have you had people try?
Yeah, I've seen people online copy it everything.
So this
I see people online copying it. The guy that does it, hey, madam, people come all the time, they show me your picture, I should do this. So they, the people, and
but what do you do about it? I mean, do you have to copyright?
Yeah, how do you protect yourself?
That's also another issue. I remember when we were in Egypt last year, we did a K-Nex. And one thing that we were talking about is property rights when it comes to. But it's very difficult because, one, you can't patent ideas.
You can't?
It's an idea, so they say you can't.
So you patent only the actual, like you can patent this.
Just that,
The circle.
But then to go through that patent and the things you have to go through. And also, I think there was a thing, sorry, it's a legal term, I forgot, I'll come back to you on it, but it was just something that was difficult. So there was something they were fighting, they were like, we have to fight for, but then you go to all these conferences and that's all they talk about.
There's no reaction.
So like,
and
you
those
get
lawyers
tired.
Are like expensive. The IP lawyers.
Yeah.
Very expensive. Property. Very, very, very expensive. So that is one thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just it's crazy.
It's not easy.
But we talk about the same things. We talk about trade. We talk about how trade in Africa. But it's like I hear the same things over and over again. But is it actually being implemented?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's another thing. That's the biggest thing in Africa.
Because I think we talked about even working within Africa. Because when I went to Egypt, I was like, oh my God, Egyptian linen. I want to get some this and this. But the cost of getting that linen from there to here. It was more expensive than even shipping something from China.
What?
Yeah.
Within Africa, it's more expensive.
It's not only
about travel; it's about everything else.
It's about everything else. So it's ridiculous.
Yeah, even this after thing, right? So to make it easier for the commerce of goods and people, because not just the people, right? The goods. How you wanna? We wanna work together, but like you wanna take the Egyptian linen from? That's still Africa. From
exactly. It should be easier.
Why is it really so hard?
It's really not. Even when I have to send things to Senegal, it's expensive. DHL, because there's no.
It's more expensive from here to Senegal than from here to London.
I bet you. It really is. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle because we have a long way to go.
But you see, that's the thing. I don't hear the industry talk much about these.
Because I feel like we talk, but there's nothing being. You know, when you talk so much and there's nothing being done, you just figure things out yourself and you get
But at least you keep going until eventually something is done about it.
We talked about it. Conferences I've been to, it's all talk. So how are we getting the momentum done? Because when I come back home, I'm thinking about how I'm going to sell and make my money, meet my targets and everything, you know. So the people that are in the power to do it, they should be enforcing it, because you have been given roles and titles. You know, my role and title is creative director and founder, and I'm trying to put, you know, because my community has to eat. So when I come home, I'm not now coming to think about your job. You know, something that we sat and then you've asked me what my complaint is and I've told you, now I have to come and do your job. No.
That's the thing.
So the, it's, yeah, it's...
Sometimes it's conferences are...
Well, not just conferences. I was looking more about, you know, individual and collective as well. I like that she's talking about it now. But even locally, I don't see the designers complain much about some of these things. It's like everybody's in their little corner doing their job.
Yeah,
making their money and that's it. Whatever challenge they're facing.
Yeah,
they don't
I think that maybe we should also come together more because we don't.
Yes,
I don't see everybody because everybody's. It's a when you're in the industry, you feel it. I feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like a thing.
Yeah,
which I don't think should be because a united front we conquer
that's
more.
That's when your voice is even more heard. Mm-hmm. You know, people pay more attention to your voice. It's bigger.
Yes,
it's louder.
It is.
Yeah. So, like on paper, we know that's what we should be doing, mm-hmm. but we don't do it.
We don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
Or if it's being done, I don't know. Like you said, I'm in my corner, so but I don't.
Now, let's talk about being the leader of the team and the founder of the business. Mm-hmm. You know, usually, if you work for someone, they set targets for you. How are you able to set targets for? Do you even set targets for yourself?
Yeah.
And how are you able to ensure that you still meet those targets without getting complacent about the fact that, well, it's my business, I can do it when I'm ready.
Yeah. When I started out, I used to do that. I was like, oh, okay, I'll take care of it later. Yeah. But I realized that I'm not just doing this. I'm actually, you have to do the business of fashion.
Mm.
And I do not come from a business background. I've come from a nursing background, you know. So what did I know about? I just knew that, oh, I like this design. If we sew it, we do it like this, it will look nice. We sell it.
Mm.
But then now, and I'm still learning the business of fashion.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole, it's not just cutting and sewing and, you know, taking photos and making it look good and everything.
Yeah.
There's actually a business. So every week I have a journal. I put together my target, my goals, who should be done with what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I make time for when I have to be in the store, when I have to be at the workshop, which the workshop takes most of my time. And then days when I need to sit down and just do admin work.
Yeah.
Because there's something that, or have to go through everything. Because I had somebody do admin work, they messed it up. So now I have to
do it myself,
look at it and everything. So sometimes it's tiring because like I said, you micromanage everything or you're doing everything. And
you still have to do this.
Yeah, but you have to go. Even if the accountant checks everything, you have to double check.
Because
I had an accountant that before you realize where did the money go, they've locked it in some here.
Every time I see the email from accountant, I'm like,
you have to double check everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to double check everything.
But are you not doing too much? And I'm just asking this because a lot of people say it's so difficult working for this person because she doesn't even give me the space to do what I have to do. She's always trying to micromanage me, and that's why people leave.
Growing up, I always said to myself, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. And I did it for the longest time, but I realized that it was not benefiting me.
Yeah.
You know, I burn out easily.
You burn out.
Like right now, I'm like, vacation, when are we going on this vacation? But you get burnt out easily, and because you can't do it all. So you have to delegate.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to delegate. I've done
it's
that.
It's a journey, listen.
It's
a journey.
So I just need to, I need to open up more. That's me personally. Yeah. I need to open up more to let people do stuff more. So
So who would you say is your accountability partner? Is it just you, or you have someone who checks you?
Oh, I have a friend, Phyllis. Oh my gosh, she would call.
Hassandi, have you done
this? She's like this and this. Can I see what is? Let me see what it's looking like. This and this. She's my accountant. She will She will let you know. She does not.
Play.
She does not play. Not that you're friends. This and this. No, I didn't like this thing that you did the last time.
Oh.
But then, you know, and it's good and constructive criticism.
Okay,
and
okay.
Sometimes I get it from my customers, you know. Okay. There are once in a while that I go, I'm like, okay, I need feedback. What do you think we should be doing?
Yeah.
And it's 90% positive and constructive.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I know what they want, what they are, you know. So it's interesting. I go and get it from my clients sometimes because they will
tell you.
They are the ones buying. So
they know better.
Exactly. And then they come and they tell you. But then some of them,
I was going to say, how do you take, you know, the feedback, whether good or bad? Because some of them can be quite harsh.
Some of them can be quite harsh, but I guess it's, you just take it with a
pinch of salt.
You know, you take it and then...
Yeah. Do you go back to the drawing table to redesign when they give you bad feedback then?
Yes, I have a couple of times. There was actually... what was it? It was actually an outfit that we made that we had to go back to the drawing board because a lot of the, we had to restructure it for plus sizes. So there was something, because some came in and they were like, no, this is not how we wanted this and this. So we had to restructure it for them and I think it worked out well. So
yeah. As long as it is, constructive.
Yeah, like I said, they are the ones buying the items. I can just see it and this is how I want it done and everything. But if they are buying it and they are wearing it, they want it a certain way, you have to listen to them. Yeah.
So wherever you are, Phyllis, we thank you for, you know, checking Sandy putting her on her toes.
Yeah.
If there's anything you've learned about running a business and being a leader, what would it be?
I would say that it's a process. You learn every day. You know, you can't stop learning because you are the leader or whatever. And then you also lead by listening to other people, hearing feedback, you know. Don't be... oh, I'm on top of my game, you know, that you can't tell me nothing, this and this. No, I'm still learning from the people that I work with. I'm still learning from my clients because then I think they help me grow. They are helping me grow the business. Some of them are stuck with us for the longest time. So I think sometimes you take a step back, reevaluate everything, and then you take it.
That's good. So open-minded, you know, about everything, learning. And also, what else? I'm trying to summarize what you said.
Be open mind, learn, take feedback, you know, take a lot of feedback because,
What are some of the things you shouldn't do as a business owner?
Having trust issues. That should be number one for me. That should be number one for me. But I think that one thing that you shouldn't do as a business owner is, I have to think about that. See, she threw it at me
like don't micromanage too much.
That too, because you get burnt out, definitely. Yeah, I have a lot of burnout.
It's not helping you and it's not also helping the person.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, yeah, definitely. Trust issues, definitely. I mean, I have to be a little bit manageable. But I'm sure there's something else. It's just not coming to me now. I can't articulate it. It will come.
What about you, Victoria? Do you have any to share?
Well, for what things not to do?
I mean, is everything I'm going through something?
Yeah, so I mentioned about, you know, like the people thing.
Yeah.
You know, grooming and training people. I'm experiencing it every day.
And trust issues, you have them too?
No, I think I'm too trust. Yeah, I trust people easier.
Oh, okay.
For me, it's the opposite.
Yeah. Okay.
For me, it's the opposite. I trust people quite fast.
Right. Yeah.
Because I always say, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have people coming and say, oh, this person, this and that, I want to experience it for myself. Even if I get burned, I want to experience it for myself, you know. And so, it's sometimes to a fault, you know. But this is who I am. I can't, when I don't like it, I don't like it. I can't, you know.
Can't pretend.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, too much of everything is bad.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? So you just have to have a good balance, you know.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, but I mean, so far, the people that I have, I'm working with, I'm very proud of them.
Yeah.
They give me headaches sometimes, but I mean, they know I have their back and they have mine.
So before we close, what can you tell us about Talency? What do you see for Talency in the next 5-10 years? What's next? If you can share.
Yeah, I see Talency as being something that, one of the brands that every woman wants to go for.
Yeah.
And one of the brands that when you put on the outfits that you put on, you just feel light.
Yeah.
You know, you feel fun, you feel like you can take charge.
Yeah.
I just wanted women to wear and feel powerful, feel feminine, feel flirty, you know. And that's just, you know, you put it on and you love it, you own it. And that's hard. I mean, you've won talents.
Yeah.
Is it something, honest opinion? Don't just say it because you're here.
Of course, I've been saying it even before meeting you, you know, like Talency for me is such, I love colors, you know, and I love, that's number one, I love the colorful side of the brand. And of course, it's quality, you know, like I've had things from you know, the brand for 5 years, and I'm still wearing it, and it still looks new.
You know, so
I love it. I really love it.
I don't know what you expect me to say, because I'm like one of the people who's always rocking Talenti.
I like things that are timeless. I have things that I made maybe in 2011.
Yeah.
My friend just still sends me pictures. I wore this to work today, this dress. Yeah. And so I remember I did one when I did a 10-year later post on the side, and I posted a picture. And then people kept sending their, so I want timeless pieces that will transcend throughout time.
Listen, I have a dress from Thailand. I was telling her earlier, that dress, I've taken it everywhere, from country to country.
No, but I know you have a new collection coming up as well.
Yes, I do. But the thing with us, we don't do collections. So it's not like I don't necessarily do
spring, summer,
because we don't. When you go to Dubai, they don't have spring, summer, because it's just one climate. So they have it. We just do drops. We just drop it.
Something new.
Have specific dates when you tell yourself, in a year, I'm going
to
do four drops.
I used to try and conform to that, but now I don't want to. So when it drops, when the time comes and we have to go back into that space, we will. But for now, we're just doing us.
And the drop can be exciting too. Oh, Tanisi just dropped her new, you know. So when is the new drop?
Tomorrow it's coming
out. Oh, wow. Yes. Check it out, guys. Talenti is dropping something.
Well, that means that by the time you're watching this, you probably see me rocking some of the new ones. And I had to say it. Because I said, and I felt so beautiful wearing it. I was like, I'm definitely getting these ones.
So
I love them.
Where can we buy Talenti? In Ghana?
You can come to the store. The flagship store is in number 20 Koi Street. That's in Yanaba Estate, or Osu, I should say. It's like a cross between the two. Mm-hmm. And you can also get it, if you're in Senegal, you can get it from Sassy Chic. Or if you're in Ivory Coast, you can get it from Cooler Concept. And you can get it online, www.talenti.com.
Lovely. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
And yeah, your skincare routine, we're just reminding you about.
Yes, I was telling her I have this and I have this.
Since last year, I think.
No, 2 years.
2 years?
Wait,
more than
COVID.
One year.
COVID happened, and now if it's last year, I say 2 years. Sorry. Yeah.
It's true.
So because I still think 2008 was 10 years.
So it's, I mean, we are 24, so at least 2 years. Yeah. Definitely more than a year.
I'm almost done with it, so I have to come and get restocked.
So which one is your favorite from
this? I like this. So I oil up at night.
Exactly.
You do?
Yeah, and I feel like when I wake up in the morning, my skin is more fresh and more glowy.
Definitely.
So,
at night is the best time to leave.
I think I go heavy on my skincare at night.
Sometimes my husband looks at me and says, why are you?
I have fly oil.
Too much oil going on.
Sometimes I look at my face, I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm telling you something. So this is going to be, this is my new favorite now, and I'll tell you why. This was always my favorite. And I'll tell you why. I use this to wipe the makeup off my face.
Yes.
But it has an oil base.
Yes. Yeah.
So even when you wash your face and you don't moisturize almost immediately, it doesn't dry up.
Yeah.
And that's something I noticed. Mm-hmm. And I said I was going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Bella is telling me now.
But I hope I'm doing it right, because I spray it all over and then I put the swab.
So how do I do it?
Spray it into your cotton pad.
My face straight.
Oh, wow. See, that's the funny thing about the cleanser. You can use it in different ways.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's one way. Mm-hmm. Another way is the cotton pad.
Yeah. Okay.
You spray onto the cotton pad and boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
What I do is I use a proper face towel.
Oh,
okay.
I put, because me, I want to go deep.
Yeah.
So I put a little water on it.
Okay.
And then I take this and I mix it with this.
Okay.
And so I feel like it goes deeper.
I'll
try that.
Yeah.
Well, skin therapists will tell you that don't use face towel too much on your face, because it's going to be wear and tear on your skin.
The regular towel? The cotton one?
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay, well, in Ghana, when you say face towel, my French darling, face towel is the actual towel, but it's
we are civilized. Face towel, proper, you know, the square one.
Which square one?
Yeah, you have
this. Was it a towel?
Yeah, a towel, but like, you have
the one that's like
just for face.
That one for face, yeah, okay.
It's for face, so it's very smooth. It's not
smooth. It's not like.
We're going to her home to go and check which face towel she's talking about.
I'll bring it the next show. I'll bring it to you to see.
Yes, you
can use it in different ways, and it works.
Or you can add it to the bundle, the face towels. I think you should add it to the bundle.
Why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We just done something extra that you, when you buy all three, you get it.
Yeah. Thank you for the idea. Yeah, that was us, guys. Thank you.